Are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you with it?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go. You know what to do. The whole world's watching and counting on you. And all you people listening out there, everybody, everywhere.
Hang on, hang on, hang on!
Welcome to Checkered Past, a loving postmodern examination of the Go-Go Check branded comic magazines published by DC Comics between February 1966 and August 1967. I'm Dr. Bob, and each week I'll be your guide on this trippy tour through 535 mid-century masterpieces of graphic noveldom.
This week, Sugar and Spike number 68, cover date December 1966, cover price 12 cents, cover artist Sheldon Mayer, edited by Murray Boltonoff, featuring Cowboy Santa Claus, written and drawn by Sheldon Mayer, and Aquaman number 31, cover date January 1967, cover price 12 cents, cover artist Nick Carty, edited by George Cashton, featuring Ogre Strikes Back, written by Bob Haney, art by Nick Carty. Are you ready? Are you with it? Then away we go!
See how the fluffy clouds move by us.
See how the clouds move by.
See how the morning mist can hide us away.
Hide us away. And now is so much fun.
What? Aquaman is contacted by the Tall Man to help stop a new plot by Ogre involving the United Nations. Aquaman creates a barrier of water surrounding the UN to protect it from an Ogre weapon, but after cementing the barrier in place, he learns that he was duped by an Ogre agent impersonating the Tall Man. Meanwhile, Sugar and Spike welcome back great-great-great-grandpa Plum in a desperate bid to save Christmas. Confused? Don't worry, I'll be right back with Dr. Husband to explain everything.
Get all your fruit and bake a pie. It's Christmas in July.
Yay! I love Christmas in July.
I just wrote a little song about Christmas in July.
Yeah.
To distract me from my doom scrolling of Twitter all day.
Oh, no.
Well.
Oh, no.
All the hubbub about the Paris Olympics.
What?
Just so we can timestamp. You know, they did a tableau of what people thought were the Last Supper, and it had not even all drag queens, like a drag queen in it.
Okay.
And so, you know, certain elements of society are all upset about it. Well, it wasn't even supposed to be the Last Supper. It was the Feast of Dionysus. And also, most of the people on the stage were dressed in their gender assigned at birth. So,
right. So it was a Feast of Dionysus. It wasn't.
Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
Last Supper. Well.
And even if it was the Last Supper.
Who cares?
It's a common trope in popular culture. So everybody just get off your high horse and. Relax.
Oh, well, that's why I don't follow, let's see, X? Is that what it's called now? Twitter?
Well, I call it Twitter, and I always will.
Okay. So. Well, I deleted my account. I just don't care about
did
it.
Did you even have an account?
I think it did it one when it was Twitter once. Yes, I did.
I was not aware.
I couldn't keep up with it all. I just don't care.
It's a lot to keep up with.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I mean, it's hard enough keeping up with Facebook, which I hardly ever go on to.
Oh, nobody's on Facebook these days. None of the cool kids.
I do follow the Instas.
Oh, sure.
Yes. And, of course, I enjoy YouTubes.
You do love YouTube more than anyone I know.
Really?
Yes.
I love it. I love it. I follow all my comedians.
Yes.
And mostly just comedians. And I like to watch pet videos.
Sure. Who doesn't?
Yes. So what have we been doing? We missed a week, didn't we?
Well, a little over a week. Well, I've been making art.
Have you been making art? That's right, yes. You have. Yes, you've been very busy, and have I?
I've been conducting a pit orchestra for the local theatrical troupe.
Yes, and I saw the production the other night. It was delightful.
Charming.
And I had to travel across the state.
Ugh.
Was it five hours? Five hours across the state for a meeting. So I went on a Thursday night, drove 5 hours, had a meeting all day, a work session, and then drove back that night on Friday night. Then we turned around the very next morning and drove 5.5 hours to Ohio, right?
Yes.
That was on Saturday, Saturday. Not this past Saturday, but Saturday before that.
Right.
And then we went to a concert on Sunday, saw Deborah Gibson.
Yes.
And
I think she's back to Debbie now.
Yeah, I think so too. And Wilson Phillips.
Uh-huh.
And
the less said about Wilson Phillips,
the better. Yeah.
Listen, these girls came out on stage. No band.
Nope.
Singing to backing tracks. Wilson Phillips, I'm talking about. Debbie Gibson was fantastic.
Yeah.
And the very first words out of any Wilson or Phillips's mouth was a complaint about the smoke machine that was on stage in an outdoor venue.
Yeah, and needing water.
And also they didn't know whose mic was whose. Like, didn't they do a sound check?
Oh, I remember Carney was complaining about having one of them too loud in her ear.
Yeah.
Just right away.
But she had the wrong mic.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
I've seen Bernadette Peters spend 2 hours walking back and forth across the stage to make sure she could do it without looking down at her feet, Wilson Phillips. So just get out there, do your sound check, and don't complain about it.
Don't complain about
it. Audience.
Right?
Don't complain.
Well, we stayed for 3 songs, maybe 4, I don't know, and then we just left. It was pretty bad.
My sister said it was like watching karaoke if the karaoke singers couldn't stop reminding you of who their dads were.
It's true. But Debbie Gibson was a lot of fun.
Can still shake her love. 53 years old, jumping around the stage like a teenager.
And you know, I have become more and more of an introvert over the years.
What?
I have become more and more of an introvert. I used to be pretty extroverted.
Okay.
Right?
Yes.
So
it's COVID. COVID did it to all of us.
Well, I got us tickets for the 4th row.
Yeah.
And I did not want to be there among all those people in the 4th row. I wanted to sit on the lawn.
Right. Well,
like when we go to Wolf Trap, we usually get like up in the balcony.
Yeah.
You know, and that's fine for me. But boy, I did not want to be where we were in that venue. I did not want to be there with all those people, and it was hot.
And it was hot, and those other people were sweaty, not us, of course, but.
And they were standing all the time, but the people behind us were sitting.
Right.
And so it was weird, you know, like I'm blocking their view. And so it was just, and I really enjoyed it once we got up on the
Now line. We know.
Yeah, now we know. So I had a good time. So that was, I mean, and I was really busy with a big work project that I was working 12-hour days at work probably all last week. And then I had to work this weekend too. So I am pretty much done with that project and got my life back. So that's why we've been gone.
Congratulations.
Yes. Dogs are happy. Kitten's happy. He's cat, but we call him kitten.
Right. You know who's not happy? Twitter.
Because of Paris.
Because of everything going on in the world, you know.
Well, the whole
Oh, we didn't even talk about... We were out of town when the whole Joe Biden, Kamala Harris thing went down.
Oh, my God. Wow. That's right. We were out of town, weren't we?
And in the words of Miss Smith from Emma... I went from utter despair to utter happiness in the span of one day.
Well, that wasn't your initial reaction, because what I've heard the reaction, I immediately went on and donated $20 to the campaign.
Yes, I was.
And I told you, and you were not happy with
it. I was not, because I felt like they pushed Biden out. But then, you know, things turned around.
Yeah.
I was afraid. This was all happening. I was afraid he wasn't going to endorse Kamala, but... Then he did, and that was that.
That was that.
She was my number one choice in 2020.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Not that we're a political podcast.
No, but there's no question about where we stand on this.
No.
Especially when we start talking social commentary and we start bashing the people in the 60s for their sexist, misogynist tropes.
Right.
So, all right. So,
talk about tropes.
Mm-hmm.
How about a super old grandpa that comes to town to play Santa Claus?
Yeah, with guns.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he talks baby talk.
Yes.
Yeah.
All grandpas talk baby talk.
Do they?
Yes.
Okay.
Everyone's the well-known fact. It's sugar at spike number 68, everyone. And it's still Christmas time in the DC Universe in 1966.
Mm-hmm.
125-year-old great-great-great-grandpa Plum returns. I don't know when he was here before. But he's returning in a complete book-length adventure. Dare we read Sugar and Spike and the Cowboy Santa Claus?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it quickly because there's a lot of words in here.
Oh, God. Okay, I'm going to trust you.
Yes?
To move us through this because it's 36 pages long and it's the same story.
It's Sugar Spike, the Cowboy Santa Claus.
Mm-hmm.
So, as you know, Sugar and Spike's parents are next door neighbors. So, Mrs. Spike, his last name is Wilson, actually. Mm-hmm. I learned that today. Mrs. Wilson brings Spike over to Sugar's house because she has to run out and get some Christmas paper. It's Christmas time.
Mm-hmm.
And Mrs. Plum says, I've got plenty of paper right here, Peg. Just stay right here. Help me wrap my presents, and you wrap yours.
Right.
Well, Spike sees that Sugar's already in the corner. She's mm-hmm. done something wrong. She tells him to go and take, if he wants to find out why she's in the corner, just take a walk across the room, which he does.
And his tangles foot gets tangled his foot up in a ribbon.
In a ribbon and pulls all the presents off the table, and then he gets in trouble.
He gets yelled at and put into the corner.
That's not right.
No, it's an unsafe environment for children. No. I mean, he obviously didn't get hurt.
Also, he's a baby.
Yes.
He just learned to walk.
Do you remember when your cousin brought their baby over here? She was everywhere.
Yes.
We had to walk around with her. And we had dog-proof the house, but not baby-proof the
house. That's right.
The dogs don't open cabinets.
Or Christmas presents.
No.
Oh, my childhood dog Boots. He used to love to rip open the paper on the Christmas presents.
Really?
Not, I mean, he wouldn't do it till you gave him his present.
Oh,
but then
okay.
he'd go crazy.
Really?
Yes.
My goodness.
So now both the children are in trouble when suddenly through the window an old man creeps. He's got a cowboy hat and guns.
And his hat's pulled over his eye.
And he's and one foot tall.
The brim of the hat's pushed up.
It's Danny DeVito, everyone.
Yay.
Give him a round of applause. No, it's great, great, great Grandpa Plum.
Mm-hmm.
Get it? That means Sugar's last name is Plum.
Plum, Sugar Plum.
Peg sees him. She says, why didn't you come through the door, Grandpa? He says, well, the window's closer.
Yeah.
Just then she gets a call. It seems that Grandpa has escaped from the old folks' home.
The old folks' home.
And he's stolen his guns from the
safe
on his way out the door.
Mm-hmm. Well, you are flying through this story.
I am. Listen, there's
impressed.
A lot of exposition that we don't need to go right. through. Turns out, Grandpa Plum also speaks baby talk. Which is good, because as you recall, Sugar and Spike only speak baby talk. They can't be understood by right. adults, nor can they understand adults.
No.
Which we learned in a previous issue goes across the board for all baby animals.
Yes, all baby animals can talk to babies.
And a baby fish.
Yes.
And can be understood cross
mm-hmm.
species.
Mm-hmm.
Fascinating. Grandpa Plum reports that he built this very house in 1868, and it is still as good as new. That makes Grandpa Plum more than 100 years old. He must have been a bandit in the Old West. He fought with Teddy Roosevelt, and so forth. Did you know that my Aunt Juanita...
I know where this is going. Go ahead.
Aunt Juanita was from West Virginia, and she smoked 4 packs of cigarettes a day, so she'd talk like this. I don't think I like that.
I loved her so much.
She was great.
She was fantastic. I was so glad to spend so much time with her. I adored her.
Anyway, her maiden name was James.
James, yeah.
And her father, mm-hmm. when he was a boy, remembered Jesse James, their cousin Jesse James, coming through town on the run from the wall.
That's right. Yeah.
So you see, we all have such close connections to American history.
Oh, yeah. So she used to say, dream on, teenager.
Dream on, teenager.
Juanita would say that, and she would say, I don't think I like that. I don't think I like that. Yeah.
Anyway, there's a man at the door. it's Mr. Flarf from the old folks' home. He's come to take Grandpa back.
I'm Mr. Flarf.
Grandpa escapes out the window, and outside are the two men dressed in white. They're going to burly assistants who are going to muscle him back.
No timer.
They put him in their car. They drive off. Mr. Flurf leaves. A few minutes later, we see the car overcome. It's stranded in the snow. The two men in white coats are unconscious on the ground, and Grandpa's escaped.
Well, you can assume that Grandpa had assaulted them.
Yes. Well, he had guns, didn't he?
No, they were taken away from him.
Well, he got them back, I'm sure. Pistol-whipped those goons. Sugar and Spike are inconsolate. Is that the right word?
Inconsolable.
Disconsolate. That's the word I was looking for. They are crying. They miss Grandpa. They can't be tempted with cookies or cake. Nothing is pacifying them. Peg has the idea to dress the children up and take them to Grimbley's department store to see Santa Claus.
Well, that's just exactly what makes little babies happy. Seeing Santa Claus. No.
When I was a lad.
Yes.
We had the downtown Lazarus department store in Columbus, Ohio, which did all the whole, you know, animatronic window and everything.
I've seen the documentary.
And on the sixth floor, they made that all Christmas land. And they had a talking tree in the middle.
Yes.
And you'd go, and it was all this whole little magic pathway. You'd go around and around and around to get to Santa Claus.
Wow. Did you ever see the little, like a monorail thing that you can ride at the top? Was that there at Lazarus?
Monorail?
Like a thing like that you get in and you go for a loop around the room?
No.
Was that someplace else that I'm thinking of?
That was Disney
World? No. It was something that actually hung. It wasn't like a monorail on top of a track. It hung from a track.
No, I don't recall that.
Okay.
However, during non-Christmas season, the sixth floor had chintzes, the chintz room.
The chintz and
where my grandmother, Mrs. White, would take me to lunch. It's very fancy and get really? The famous Lazarus dressing.
Would you dress up for it?
No.
No? Oh.
I mean, I'm sure she had gloves on and
yes,
a pillbox hat. But I never looked good in a pillbox.
Did she spoil you? You never looked good in a pillbox. Did she spoil you?
No. Well, I mean, she always made cookies and whatnot and had 7-Up at her house because it was healthier.
7-Up was healthier?
Yeah, we were allowed to drink that.
Oh, my.
Yes, and she had all of the General Foods International coffees.
All of them?
Yes, but her particular favorite was Cafe Vienna.
Of course.
So we'd always be offered a hot drink. Oh, and she'd make pearl tea.
Tell me what pearl tea is.
It's a hot milk, like half a cup of hot milk, and then topped off with water, and then lots and lots of sugar.
Oh, my God.
Pearl tea.
I love that. I love that. I barely knew Mrs. White.
She sure knew you in her imagination.
She sure did.
She was very proud of you.
Yes.
The one time she met
you. I was one of her sons or something.
Yes.
Probably Jack. Well, Jack was her only son.
You do kind of resemble Jack.
Do I?
Yeah. Anyway, let's flash.
Oh, your poor mother.
What?
When Mrs. White pointed at me at Thanksgiving across the table and said, I'm so proud of you. That was her son, Jack, she was talking about.
Well, we don't know who she was talking about.
Okay.
What brought that up?
I don't know. We were just reminiscing about your family and stuff, because we've been together for a long time. I was very lucky to have known so many of these characters in your family.
Yes.
They were absolutely delightful people.
Present company excluded. Now, Grimbley's has a new Santa Claus, and the children have arrived there to see him. It's Grandpa.
It is.
And he's talking baby talk to all the children in line and asking them what they want for Christmas and promising they're going to have it soon.
Soon because, well, we'll learn why.
The children disappear. The ladies go to the store management, who apparently are also U.S. senators because they're wearing morning coats.
Morning coats.
Santa is also missing. Santa has left a poorly misspelled note. Dear kids, I'll be back soon.
S-U-N-E.
Got work to do in the stock room.
R-U-M-E.
Your friend, Santa.
Y-E-R.
So Sugar and Spike meet Santa in the stock room. It's Grandpa. He tells them he's gathering all their Christmas presents. The kids say, huh? What's Christmas? They've never heard of Christmas.
I know. And he doesn't mention Jesus or anything.
No.
No.
It's the time of year when a feller named of Santa Claus gives little kids any present they want.
My only criticism of this story was he didn't call him Santa Claus. I wish he had called him Santa Claus.
Classic.
Or Sandy Claus, I say.
Sandy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, Sugar says, well, that's great because it's very lucky that you're here to speak baby talk because our parents can't ask us what we want. And they have to guess because we can't tell them.
Right.
Now, what Spike wants is this baby-sized locomotive.
Who wouldn't want that?
I know.
Oh, my God. A locomotive you can sit in and ride or drive around and push buttons, and it's got a battery operated, and it's got a coal cart in the back. How cool is that? I want that
now, even if it is baby-sized.
Exactly. I'd like that adult size. I mean, like, not like...
Standard. Not like full, yeah, not
locomotive. No, just like go-kart size, yeah.
And then we could...
I know something.
What?
So one of my colleagues that I really like, really cool, I'm not going to name his name.
Yes.
But one of my colleagues.
Is he listening?
No, he's not. Okay. No. Is on vacation. And yes. He and his brother suggested that they go. He's on vacation with his wife and two kids.
Yeah.
And they took the kids go-kart racing. But he and his brother said to him, let's go and do electric go-karts. So I've never heard of electric go-karts before. And apparently... they have incredible torque.
Really?
They go from 0 to 60 in a matter of seconds.
Okay.
And this colleague of ours, who plays saxophone,
I hear you.
Said it was an absolute blast. He said, I'm always used to driving those little go-karts with the lawnmower engines in the back.
Right.
You know? He said, oh my God, these were insane, taking go-karts that fast on a tight track.
And?
Yeah.
Better for the environment.
Yes, but he said if you ever see a chance to ride one of these things, you absolutely have to do it. It is so much fun.
Let's go.
Yeah. Well, I don't know that we have any around here, but it'd be fun to do.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Talk about torque. Spike takes off in this locomotive. He can't slow down. He's just going circles and circles
around. Well, he's a baby. He doesn't know how to drive.
Every time he circles around, Santa puts more presents in the back of that coal bin.
Yeah, and Santa also hasn't had time to figure out how to tell him to turn it off.
Right. Finally, Spike makes it out the door of the stockroom down to where Santa was, where the other children are waiting for Santa.
This is dangerous here. He's knocked over one of the store managers.
Someone's likely to be killed.
Mm-hmm.
He crashes into the store management and starts doling out presents to these kids.
Well, who's driving? Sugar or Spike?
Spike. Spike. Oh, no, that looks... No, it is Sugar. Sugar,
I mean, Spike's giving out the presents.
Yeah. Management is not pleased.
Oh, no.
Because they are losing profit.
Yeah.
Hand over fist. Santa appears, and management demands to know who's going to pay for this. Grandpa says, Grimbley's department store. Who else? the management reports that they don't give away merchandise for free.
Then they blame the babies.
They blame the babies. They're about to arrest these babies for theft.
They don't know any better.
No.
Then here come the crazy people from the... Oh, not crazy people. The old people catchers from the old folks home. What do you call them? The nursing attendants, perhaps?
Nursing attendants, yes. Okay. The men in the white coats.
Yes. That's why I call them the 60s. Crazy people catchers, because they're in white coats.
I wonder if Sugar and Spike's parents dragged them back to the store manager by the ear to make them
like
confess.
Your mother did?
Yes.
You know, I think I told you that my mother did the same thing with me. I don't remember what kind of toy it was, but I had picked up a toy and she dragged me in front of that store manager. I was crying. I was so upset. She didn't say that. She didn't say what your mother said.
No. Well, I had stolen a pack of ViewMaster reels.
I stole a Hot Wheels car.
Oh.
Yeah. But the thing is, this is what my mother didn't believe.
What?
The Hot Wheels car was out of its package on the floor in front of the meat counter. I remember that.
Yes.
I found it in front of the meat
thing. So some kid had dropped it.
So I picked it up.
Yeah.
My mother, and I was playing with it. She said, where did you get that? I said, it was in the store, on the floor. And she said, no, it wasn't. You stole that. And she took me inside, and I was crying. And the manager was, you know, scolded me for stealing. I didn't steal. Right. Not to say I didn't shoplift one time when I was a teenager.
Well, sure.
But I shoplifted a candy bar one time. What a dare. I know it was terrible. But at that time, I got accused of it. So I'm sorry, I cut you off in your story. Go ahead.
Well, I stole a pack of ViewMaster reels, even though I did not own a ViewMaster, but it was a Land of the Lost ViewMaster reels.
Yes.
Which I loved. Took them home, unwrapped it, and hid everything under my bed, which somehow she found. Mm. Dragged me back to the store by my ear, sent me in by myself, and said, if they take you to jail, there's nothing I can do.
How old were you?
8 years old.
Oh, God, I love that. Did you cry?
Yes.
Of course.
And then the store manager rubbed dirt in the wound.
What did he say?
You know, you've broken your mother's heart. Asshole. Hope you can repackage these ViewMaster reels. It costs 47 cents.
God, my mother, she scolded me. I there wasn't even packaging. I simply had the car. If she had looked in the car, like, I had the car in my pocket, and then I was playing with it in the car, and then she made me go back inside, or she took me inside, and I got scolded and whatnot. She didn't believe me. This is the same woman who, when Ecker Drugs would not take back a toy that my mother had bought for my sister that was not working for Christmas.
Yeah.
They used to have those chains that would divide the entrance from the... Yeah. She took a chain off of the rack and said, so help me God, I will break this window and throw it through the door if you don't give me a refund. My mother. That's a...
Girl power.
She was touched. My mother.
Yes.
We know that.
Yeah. Let this be a lesson, kids. Never let your parents see you experience one moment of joy. Sugar and Spike escape from the cops and make their zany way around the store, wrecking all the decorations.
They climbed up a Christmas tree, didn't they?
Yes. Meanwhile, these goons are about to catch Grandpa, but he escapes as well. Also,
swinging on the decorations.
Swinging around the store, he rescues Sugar and Spike, except they swing right into the arms of one of the store managers.
Yes.
He looks like a third key, though.
Shut up!
What?
I was second key. Was I third key?
You were third key, as was I.
Okay.
It's not a badge of shame.
Oh, I just saying you often say to me, well, you were third key.
There's a certain look about a third key.
A second assistant manager.
Well,
basically the one who gets all the shitty shifts.
Yeah.
Yeah. But who's responsible?
Sure.
Yeah.
The store manager demands everyone be arrested. Grandpa, the parents, the babies, everyone. The police have arrived, by the way. The police are confused because the babies and Grandpa aren't speaking English. They're speaking that foreign language. What if they're immigrants and they've come to steal Christmas from everyone?
They literally say something about them being foreigners.
Yes, they jabber away in that foreign language. Do you know that's where the word barbarian comes from? The Romans, when they were interacting with the Germanic peoples,
yes,
they would make fun of their language and say it sounded like ba 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 ba. So Grandpa starts yelling.
Yes.
And
they call him a dishonest crook.
Yes. Finally, someone comes in. Oh, it's Mr. Flarf from the Happy Haven home.
Hey, wait, stop.
And he says, I owe this. He does look like that guy. What's that actor's name?
Mr. Drysdale?
No, the one who always plays a waiter or a store attendant or something, and someone will get his attention, and he'll turn around and go,
yes?
That's who this guy looks
like. Yes, that's what I was thinking of. And I was thinking that that Grandpa's voice would be Yosemite Sam's, and I'm so glad we didn't do voices, because I was concerned about how I would do Yosemite Sam's.
That's hard to do.
I know.
The Mr. Flarf comes and he says, I owe Grandpa Plum an apology because, and the police say, well, you better do it quick because he's about to go to jail for giving away merchandise. And he says, you can't. It's his store. He owns the store.
Mm. What?
Apparently he's been spending his time since 1868 buying up stock. And now he owns more stock than anyone else in the United States of America.
Mm.
He owns this store, and from now on, the store policy is we give away toys at Christmas. It turns out that's a great thing, because now the store is doing, the parents are coming in to get the free toys, and then they're staying to buy stuff.
Wow.
Yeah.
Record business.
It's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I think more stores should do that.
It wouldn't.
wouldn't account for us.
Hmm?
We couldn't get free toys.
I don't care about free toys, but I want all children to be happy.
Well, apparently, somewhere we missed, because we aren't parents.
What?
We missed the manual that parents get where it says, "And you must ensure that your children's lives will be miserable."
Sure.
Yes.
No, well, we're educators, so we are bound to kowtow to all children.
We call that inspiring.
Yes.
Inspire success.
Lots of other fun. We have the doll, the paper doll page here, of course.
Make your own Christmas cards.
Write your own comic page. Make your own, cut out your own Christmas cards. Well, I've got some good news and some bad news.
What's the good news?
Christmas is over.
Oh,
no, that's the bad news. Sorry.
Okay, what's the good news?
The cover of Aquaman number 31 has Aquaman ripping his shirt off.
Aquaman. Hold on a second. Let me get to it.
I mean, he still has that scaly.
Does he need that scaly jerkin?
Well, need it? It's his costume.
It's his costume, yes. But does he breathe? How does he breathe?
He's got gills.
Oh, okay. Where are his gills?
Behind his ears.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if that had been established yet in this era.
Okay.
But he does breathe water.
Yes.
So one could safely assume that it's some kind of a gill situation.
Very, very interesting.
What do you mean?
Well, this doesn't happen inside the comic.
Well, it kind of does.
Does it, though?
He does wear a white shirt and tight, tight breeches and sunglasses.
Yes, but does this actually happen, this little fight scene here?
Where he's staring down the barrel of a tank and these men with helmets that look like Ant-Man?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Let's find out.
Okay.
Ogre strikes again. Ogre is an acronym, as you remember.
Organization
for General Revenge and Evil.
General Revenge.
Just General Revenge. Revenge against whom, we don't know.
No.
I love the splash page because it looks like Aquaman is flying like Superman.
I was waiting for him to fly later on in the comic story, and it didn't happen. I mean, I know what that is, but yeah. It did. I thought, oh my gosh, he's going to get the power of flight.
There's only one time Aquaman has the power of flight, and that's in the opening credits of Super Friends.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He can't fly.
No, he can't. But he can fly like underwater. I mean, he can swim very fast.
Oh, sure. He can fly at 70 knots per minute.
Yeah. Is that true?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ogre, the fantastic organization for worldwide evil you met before. Remember, we did meet them before.
Mm-hmm.
The titanic foes Aquaman barely defeated, or thought he did, because like some hydra-headed monster with 100 tentacles, it now rises again, unleashing a threat so fantastic that no other title could convey the plain excitement, terror, and action, except to warn you for your own good. Watch out, because
Ogre strikes back.
Of course, this is not the first acronymed organization we've seen in this era of comics. It's all influenced by James Bond, which was spies were hot, hot, hot in the 60s.
Yeah, those movies are great.
Which is a good time to mention that our next episode of Nerd Orchestra will be dropping soon when we look at On Her Majesty's Secret Service.
Right. One thing I was thinking about would love to do in the future on Nerd Orchestra is look at the movie Deadfall. I haven't spoken with Chuck about this yet, but the music is by John Barry.
Mm-hmm.
And in this
composer of James Bond music.
Yes. Wonderful scene. There is a piece by John Barry, written by John Barry, called Romance for Guitar and Orchestra, played by Renata Tarago. And she played with the flesh of her fingers, not with her nails.
Oh.
So it's this really beautiful piece for guitar and orchestra. Called Romance for Guitar and Orchestra. I'm sorry, I already said that. But the point is, also, there's a song in there called My Love Has Two Faces, written by John Barry, sung by Shirley Bassey.
What?
Right? And Michael Caine is the actor in it. And it's this wonderful sort of like spy thievery movie kind of thing. So I would love for us to see Deadfall.
Well, I'm in, but you're going to have to talk to Chuck about that because, as you know, I'm not in charge of Nerd Orchestra, now available on all podcasting platforms.
Well, if we don't watch it with him, we should watch it together because it has something that we both like. Well, we also we like those kind of movies anyway, but sure. It has a special treat because I like Renata Taragi.
And I like Shirley Bassey.
Yes. Okay, so back to Aquaman.
Back to Aquaman. Riding out of the shimmering dome of Atlantis come two famed familiar figures. It's Aquaman and Aqualad on their trusty sea steeds, Storm and Imp.
Oh, so Aqualad must be on Imp.
Yes. Jumping Jackfish, Aquaman. This is great. Just you and me going out on undersea patrol again.
Check, Aqualad. But after the fantastic adventures we've been having lately, I hope it's a quiet trip.
Yeah, not likely, Aquaman, because there's going to be some trouble. And soon, Aquaman gets a signal.
Yeah, why doesn't he get a radio signal or a special message? Why does he has a... What's that? Dropping
so
an anchor?
So, there's a shipwreck under the ocean, and Aqualad notices that its anchor has dropped. And he says, it's always usually winched up tight when we go by here. Aquaman says, oh, it's probably just came loose. I gotta go. Bye.
Bye. Right? And Aqualad says, Aquaman, where are you going?
I can't tell you. Oh, yeah. Sorry, that's Aquaman. I can't tell you, but we'll just have to postpone our patrol for a while, kiddo.
So Aqualad says, what gives, Aquaman? You keep going off on mysterious trips without me. I want to know why.
Listen, little sardine. You don't have to know anything except... This sounds like my mother speaking. You don't have to know anything except get back to Atlantis and take charge while I'm gone. That's an order.
You know, I think that's a nice consolation. Aquaman goes.
Go Aqualad. Be in charge of Atlantis? Yeah, for sure.
You're right. Of course, Aquaman, Aqualad says, oh, the big bully, he's up to something, and he's leaving me out. What am I thinking? I love this turn of events. This turn of thinking here. What am I thinking? He's still the greatest guy there is, and he's probably got good reasons for not wanting me along. That's all we get for Aqualad.
Because we've learned that this anchor being down is a signal from American intelligence.
Yes.
Meant especially for Aquaman. This is like Mark Trail in the comic strips. When his adopted son, Rusty, he always is promising to take Rusty fishing. Uh-huh. And then something suddenly comes up. So I don't think Rusty's ever been fishing in his life.
So Aquaman is now in the secret cove of a desolate beach where he says, now there's my contact man. Now for the password.
The bottlenose whale.
Swims only by moonlight. Hello, Aquaman. Let's go. The tall man is waiting.
So stupid. Soon at a deserted lighthouse.
So Aquaman is meeting with the tall man. That's his contact in American intelligence. They're meeting in an out-of-the-way deserted lighthouse. But he's afraid.
Well, it's not deserted. It's lit.
Well, yes.
It's a squirrel went in across the driveway.
What?
If you hear a bark, it's...
No. The tall man is afraid that Ogre is watching their every move. And Aquaman says, what? They're out of business. Mira and I put them out of business several issues ago. Right. When they tried to get control of that lost undersea missile arsenal.
You only netted one school of ogre fish, Aquaman. It's got hundreds of other units all working under a top command whose identity we can never learn. Now, one of our agents is planted in Ogre's ranks. Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on a second. Okay, here we go. Ready? Now, one of our agents is planted in Ogre's ranks, has risked his life to find out their latest fantastic scheme. To blackmail the whole world by capturing the United Nations. I need glasses. I need new glasses so badly.
Why don't you get them?
I am on a waiting list to get my eyes examined because the last time I got my eyes examined, I didn't go stop at the counter and make my follow-up appointment, right? Do you know when I can get my eyes examined?
When?
In January.
Go to Walmart.
I'm thinking about switching doctors now.
Do it.
Because I swear to God I need new glasses.
Go to they have those eye clinics all over the... On every corner.
Oh, okay. Okay. Anyway, so the whole idea is that Ogre's going to capture the diplomats in the United Nations.
Capture the UN? Why, that's kooky. Impossible.
Well, we thought it was insane, too, until our agent told us about Ogre's super ray that can put an impenetrable barrier over the UN buildings behind which they could hold most of the world's diplomats indefinitely. They'd then force their home countries to cough up the greatest ransom in history.
Even
I'm assuming
more.
That the tall man's a homosexual.
Oh, of course.
Okay.
He's wearing an ascot mm-hmm. and smoking a pipe. And even more amazing is that the only thing that can stop that ray, the only substance it can't penetrate, is water.
Water?
Yes, common, ordinary water. That's the simple part. But how to put a water shield over the UN is the difficult part. And that's where you come in, Aquaman.
Deep under Manhattan Island, locked in a rock, are veins of water under tremendous natural pressure. You could tap them and erect a shield of moving water over the entire UN area.
That's a tall order, tall man. Why don't I just call my wife Mira, who can control water and turn it hard?
Well, he's not going to think of that, is he? No.
No. And that's what's wrong with men.
Yes.
The unmitigated gall.
Well, if he had done that, it would have been a shorter issue.
Exactly. And then they could have put an Aqualad solo story of Aqualad ruling Atlantis. So that would be interesting.
The Tallman says, good. I knew we could rely on you. But remember, the whole operation needs the utmost secrecy. If Ogre got wind of it, they'd take countermeasures. No one must know of it except you, Aquaman.
I understand. Ogre will have to kill me to stop me. So long, bye.
Good luck, Aquaman.
Look at Aquaman hop over those rocks.
Right. Boom, boom,
bling,
boom,
bling,
boom.
Bling, 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 bling. All right. Sometime later, along New York City's east side at the complex of famous structures that is the world's peacekeeping organization, the United Nations. Who's president of the United Nations in the 60s? Do we know?
I wasn't even born yet.
Well, I was, technically. Let's say he's from France. Because you know how good my French
is. But also, to crush the international crime combines, such as the infamous Ogre, which is the sworn enemy of all the world's decent citizens.
Here, here. Wee.
Ya.
See.
Da. Okay, this next sequence of events.
Yes.
Unbelievably unlikely.
So we
a narwhal. Go ahead and explain it, and then I'll just go on.
So we were told that there were veins of water locked in the rock under Manhattan Island.
Of course. Do you know what kind of rock is actually makes up the island of Manhattan?
I don't. Is it
granite?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's built on. That's why so many high buildings can be built upon it. It's solid sediment. No, igneous rock. Igneous rock.
Yeah, I thought granite was somewhat porous.
No.
Are you sure? Sure. Sure.
Hey Siri, what kind of rock is underneath Manhattan? Mica schist. The bedrock underlying much of Manhattan is mica schist, known as Manhattan schist of the Manhattan Prong physiographic region. So I was wrong about that. I thought it was granite.
Schist.
Schist.
Say it again. Schist.
S-C-H-I-S-T. I thought it was granite. I know that it's really strong rock, which is why they can build so many buildings on top of it.
Sure. So Aquaman's come along with a narwhal, which is going to... Narwhal's name is Nari.
Nari the Narwhal.
Nari is going to drill into the bedrock under Manhattan Island.
So as a child, would you assume that a narwhal's horn, which is actually a tooth,
yes,
right, is strong enough to drill through rock and that it spins like a drill?
As a child, yes, I would have believed that. But also as a child, I would have thought, why doesn't he just call Superman on the Justice League communicator? Superman could do this. No time flat. Well, it's because nobody can know about it because Ogre's listening.
Plus, couldn't Mira direct water in jets to drill through the rock?
Mira could just lay on the beach and make water come up out of the ocean and make a dome. There's no drilling required.
Oh, just remember, one of our friends is going to be upset we didn't call her Mira.
What?
Mira, right? Doesn't...
That's the French pronunciation, and we're in America, so we're going to say Mira.
Doesn't Chuck call her Mira?
I don't... Probably, yes.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But Chuck also says Aquaman and not Aquaman.
Well, that's not how it's pronounced. It's pronounced Aquaman.
You know that, and I know that.
Yeah. And Tallman.
Well, Nari's done it.
Okay.
Busted through the high-pressure veins of water. And just in the nick of time, Aquaman and Nari escape. While behind them, within the bedrock beneath Manhattan Island, the water freed from the substratum vein spurts upwards through the newly cut channels with tremendous power. Within seconds, up above, the entire United Nations Plaza is like a splash park at Six Flags.
Or if you will, fountains of Rome or
any yes.
famous city. You know, basically, I did have a hard time thinking that water's impenetrable. Like you know, this
remember shield. When Epcot used to have that fountain that was synchronized with the music, and like every 15 minutes there'd be a ping, 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 and the water would shoot and shoot and shoot.
Yes!
Oh, that was great.
I was thinking of one time we went to Epcot, and I could swear there was like this kind of like really cool wall of water that went over like this.
Mm-hmm.
And it would just follow. You'd walk through
yeah.
a tunnel, and the water would be going over you. Is that
yeah, true? Same concept here.
Yeah. yeah.
Except it's making a giant dome over a I don't know how many stories do we have in the UN. And at then, least 100, right?
And then Aquaman says, he walks up to this protective shield of water and says, the government agent said this gizmo would accelerate the water even more, make it really impenetrable dome over the UN.
Right.
So, okay. So he's hitting it with some sort of
Beam. Yeah.
That accelerates water faster than the pressure that the water is being pushed up through the earth,
yep.
which would then, in my mind, steal pressure from underneath the water. I just don't get it. I don't.
Well, at the very least, it's going to flood lower Manhattan.
Thank you.
So apparently by speeding up the water, that's what makes it impenetrable.
It's going so fast you can't get through.
Right.
It would strip your skin off. No.
No.
You can't even shoot things through.
Right.
Yeah.
So I guess it's moving at light speed, which would also destroy lower Manhattan.
Let's just go with it.
Now.
Yeah, but inside the UN. Oh, you'll do the helicopter or inside the UN?
Oh, I'll do the helicopter. You know, I've never ridden in a helicopter.
Me neither.
This is a police helicopter. I just checked with headquarters. They say the dome is some kind of fantastic plot.
Look, it's Aquaman, making that water move even faster with some wacky gadget.
At that moment, inside the UN...
Hello, a dome of water is covering the whole United Nations.
Up there, those chaps with machine guns, what is happening?
That's a Russian.
Oh, okay.
You are all prisoners of Ogre, gentlemen.
Ma foi!
Do not resist or you will die.
By the beard of the prophet.
I cannot believe he says that. By the blessed beard of the prophet.
And he says it more than once in this issue.
Yes.
Okay. Hold it right there. What's really happening here? To find out, let's go directly to Ogre HQ in a location we cannot reveal. Follow-up unit reports Operation Dome a complete success, Cracko.
Of course it was. It was too beautiful to be... too unbelievably beautiful to fail. It was worth the plastic surgery I underwent to make me the tall man's double.
What?
It was worth all the months of planning.
It's Cracko, the leader of Ogre, and he's had plastic surgery to look just like the tall man.
And Aquaman, he never dreamed that we had... no super raid to erect a barrier over the UN. That protective water dome was really a trap. A trap that would keep the entire United delegation... prisoners. Indefinitely.
All this girl needs is a long-haired cat to pet.
Oh, to stroke. Yes. To stroke, yes. Yes, that is my master stroke. The blackmail money Ogre collects will surely get me promoted to the Council of Terror. Radio unit delivering... What? Radio unit. Deliver the following ultimatum to all governments.
Shortly, outside the UN, Aquaman is being arrested by federal agents.
Oh, poor silly Aquaman.
Because now they assume that, now that they know that this is a dome of water that's trapping everyone inside the UN, and they all saw Aquaman do it, they assume he's behind the whole plot.
Well, of course, they saw him do it, didn't they?
Believe me, General, how could I know the tall man had a twin brother?
He hasn't, you idiot. That was an ogre double agent. You might have checked it through with us.
Oh, what a fool I've been. They used me like I was one of their own agents.
They used you like a three-day-old wash rag, Aquaman. Fool is a mild word, Aquaman. This ultimatum from Ogre can upset world peace, and for all we know, you're really an ogre agent. Say it ain't so, Aquaman.
General, I beg you, let me try and make up for what I've done.
Sorry, Aquaman, until we've investigated...
Crash!
What? Stop it!
No, you can't keep me here!
This is a fantastic panel. That Aquaman crashing through
throws,
a
girl glass throws window. Himself right through that window.
Uh-huh. Mm. He sneaks into an alleyway, finds some old discarded clothes from a beggar or something. I don't know where he got those clothes.
Probably hanging on a line to dry.
Oh, yeah. He's going to disguise himself as plain Joe Doakes. I don't know who Joe Doakes is.
No. I thought you would.
Well, there was a series of movies in the 40s. They weren't called Joe Doakes, were they, though?
Well, I don't know.
Well, let me look it up here.
Ogre Strikes Back.
Discuss amongst yourselves.
So, Ogre Strikes Back.
Oh, the meaning of Joe Doakes is an average man.
Oh, okay. All right.
But I'll have to find that movie series. The little short movies. They're on, you know, the Warner Brothers DVDs. They always have a couple on there.
So, Ogre Strikes Back Part 2.
Yes?
A city. The whole world tenses in fear and amazement as the heart of Manhattan, a strange gun is rolled up to a fantastic dome of water, moving at super speed.
A strange dome? This is a missile.
It is a missile, but there's a man inside.
There's a man inside. They fire it at the wall of water. It bounces off the wall of water.
Mm.
Shell cannot penetrate. Luckily, the man escapes in his parachute, and the rocket self-destructs above Manhattan. I'm sure that's fine. Shortly in Washington, they're being ordered to try again. World peace is at stake. They have a diamond-tipped drill on the back of a tank. All breaks in half. They try to get through the water.
That's right.
Watching from the shadows near the roped-off area is a lone figure who looks somewhat familiar. What?
Aquaman should have ridden Nari the Narwhal. I'm sure his incredibly strong tooth could have gone
cut. Well, that's a great idea. It could, but Nari couldn't survive out of water long enough to get to land.
What do you mean out of water? There's water splashing on the other side of the building all over the place. It's good. Look, it's going right into the river.
But it's super hard water. Nari would be killed or thrown into the sky.
That would have made for a really good panel.
Now, Aquaman gets on a boat tour out in the harbor to see the fantastic dome of water that's over the UN.
Mm-hmm. Get some perspective on it.
Aquaman's in disguise. He's got sunglasses on.
And a white dress shirt.
White dress shirt and pants.
Is he wearing a tie?
No.
No. Okay.
Suddenly, a kid falls overboard. Of course, Aquaman.
He's wearing a white jacket.
No, it's a shirt.
No, it's a jacket.
It's a shirt. He's pulled it open so he can dive into
Look
the water.
Look at the panel.
I know, but... It's clearly every other panel we see, it's a shirt.
For a second, I thought it was like one of those really cool Miami Vice type jackets. I know it's not. The timing's 20 years too early, but.
And now it does kind of look like a lab coat.
Doesn't it?
Yeah. Anyway, Aquaman has to dive in to save this boy because, of course, he's a hero. He's going to. Still, he gets back on the ship with his kid and nobody recognizes him, even though his sunglasses have been knocked off. But just then, two ogre agents, easily identified by their T-shirts, which say ogre.
Right? If you're going to be in a world-famous organization of crime, are you going to put it on the front with a logo like Gap? Or
maybe it's like, you know...
Abercrombie and Fitch?
In the 80s, kids would ironically wear like the hammer and sickle of the Soviet Union.
Oh, yeah. Or Che Guevara or something.
Yeah. Like that. Maybe it's like that, just a fashion trend on DC Earth.
Mm.
Ogre, crap pants, crap shirt.
Korea. North Korea.
But Aquaman's not fooled. He knows these are ogre agents. He knows that they have identified him as Aquaman, mm-hmm. and he's got to get off this boat fast. He dives. No, he jumps. He jumps up to the smokestack.
Oh, I'm on the wrong page. I got it.
The ogre agent's firing and firing. He launches himself off the top of the smokestack with a mighty leap because he makes...
That's a hell of a leap that he's done.
Well, his muscles are hardened by life under the sea.
Yes.
He jumps from this boat to the wall of water on the shore that surrounded the UN. He tucks like a cannonball, hoping that he'll go through, but nope. He's being carried up with the watery movement into the air, and this is where we get that fantastic flying scene.
Yeah, the water current is so rapid, it shoots him up into the sky.
And across the harbor, all the way to the Statue of Liberty. Speaking of French culture, we were gifted the Statue of Liberty by France. He grabs Lady Liberty's torch and swings around to find that the boat from the harbor has been taken over by ogre agents, and they are shooting a water cannon up to the top of the torch of the Statue of Liberty to try to blast Aquaman off. Mm-hmm. He jumps into the stream of water from the water cannon, thinking he's going to ride it down to the
surface of the water. He swims down
a water cannon.
Yeah.
Not knowing that there's an ogre agent inside the crown of the Statue of Liberty who starts firing.
But I would think that it wouldn't... Oh, he's riding the water cannon.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the flow of the water would interrupt with the speed of the bullet.
Sure. Aquaman is knocked out of the water cannon and plunges into the harbor.
Where they throw into the water a grenade.
A grenade.
Poor Aquaman.
Which explodes. I like that they didn't specifically point out, like, they just drew a grenade and they say, now it's time to finish him off. But they didn't say, the agent throws a grenade into the water.
No.
We're left to our own devices. Yeah. Aquaman's underwater. A police boat approaches to capture these ogre goons. They take off. Meanwhile, outside the United Nations...
Planes are trying to what? Hit the building?
No, they're dropping bombs.
And the bombs are bouncing off.
It's a penetro bomb. It didn't even dent the dome. We're licked, everybody. The world governments decide they must pay the ransom.
By the beard of the prophet, we must pay...
And at Ogre headquarters, we have won. I don't understand why they're wearing ant helmets.
Maybe there was a sale on them at Zales? Zales department store. Oh, my God.
What about it? We have won. Oh, no, who's the ogre? Tall man.
He's...
We have won. The world governments have agreed to pay for the diplomats' freedom. The High Council will reward me greatly for this victory. Task Force, prepare for Operation Cleanup.
Ogre commands! Command. Ogre commands, what he said.
I'm really disappointed that Operation Cleanup, that Cleanup wasn't an acronym. Oh. They missed a great opportunity there.
CLC, up period. Yes. Yes.
Aquaman made it so easy for us, and now he's dead. Ogre lives on. I know. I'm trying to.
Okay.
Rush
but
through.
In Times Square, where a sullen, angry crowd has gathered.
Sullen. What are they, teenagers?
They're all speaking with exclamation points. They're not sullen.
This is terrible. Well, let's make them sullen.
Okay.
This is terrible. The authorities are helpless against Ogre.
None of us are safe.
It's all Aquaman's fault. Aquaman's back in disguise.
Yeah, Aquaman's to blame.
Good thing that crowd didn't recognize me. Got to try and stop Ogre from collecting that ransom before they find out I'm still alive. So apparently a whole square mile has been cordoned off around
the
UN.
Square mile and evacuated. Around the UN?
Yes. That's the Ogre's terms.
Okay.
That was their terms for the ransom handoff.
Okay.
What?
How big is Manhattan Island?
I don't know. But like a mile from Lower Manhattan would be Central Park, right? Probably.
Quite a bit of space, yes. I don't know how big Manhattan is.
I don't either, but let's just pretend like we know.
Okay.
It's definitely from Lower Manhattan to Central Park.
Oh, sure, sure.
Because I've been in New York City one time, so I'm pretty familiar with
it. I lived in New York City for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
I was there for work.
So suddenly, Aquaman's in the cordoned off area, and he hears some clanking coming from a subway. It's a tank.
Oh, my God.
A tank emerges from the subway.
From the subway, right?
It's an ogre tank. And they're there to make the ransom pickup.
They sure are.
They spot Aquaman when they know there's not supposed to be any people there. So Aquaman lifts up a manhole cover, dives down into the sewer. Yay!
Ew, sewer water.
Oh, God. Well, luckily, Ogre
has... He's wearing his sunglasses, too.
Yeah. That's good, because you don't want to get sewer water in your eyes. You get pink eye. Although they do, I worried about that, but then they said Ogre had flooded the tunnels, so it's probably washed out the
most of the
sewage.
That's what when I read it too, I was thinking, oh, they're probably, it's not like raw sewage flowing through there, because the whole freaking area is flooded, right?
Right. The ogre ants find the box full of ransom. It's very heavy because it's all full of gold. Mm-hmm. Aquaman pops back up out of the sewer and starts punching.
Fisticuffs everywhere. Thud.
Pow.
They rip his shirt off of
him. Yes. Oh. So, Aquaman's alive. A fish out of water has to die. Fire, fire.
They fire a cannon at him.
Yep. He grabs the box of ransom and dives
away. The cannon was able to penetrate the water. Where nothing else had been able to penetrate the water.
He dives with the ransom inside the water shield covering the UN before it closes back up.
Yep.
Now, there are ogre agents inside who start firing at Aquaman when he appears in the grand hall where all the delegates apparently are just sitting, waiting for their rescue. Now, here's a question I have.
Yes.
Oh, no, never mind. I just answered my own question inside my head, so I'm not even going to ask it. Thanks.
Good.
Aquaman runs into the tall man, the actual tall man, who's also trapped inside the UN.
And Aquaman should have known that the other tall man that he was talking with was not the same one, because this, the real tall man, has a southern accent. He goes, "That's far enough, Aquaman."
The tall man, you can't fool me again. You're an ogre creep. Well, which is it, Aquaman? Are you an ogre or a creep?
I was stashed in here before you put up the dome. Our agents had a last-minute tip that something was going on, but we never dreamed just what.
I'm a creep. I'm an ogre. Meantime, outside, these ogre guys in the tank are trying to figure out what to do next. And suddenly here comes a pretty girl in a stylish outfit, a little mini dress. And no, it's kind of a T-length. A beret, sunglasses.
Hair tied back in a ponytail.
Yeah, a long ponytail. Mm-hmm. They say, forget the girl. We've got to shoot another hole in the dome so we can enter. But these gentlemen do not notice the pretty girl gesturing, and suddenly the water dome turns brittle and falls apart.
What has she done to it?
Hmm?
She turned it hard and brittle.
Yes. I wonder who she could be. I could have told you back on page 4 who it could be, and she could have solved this whole story. Well, and then we could have had
19 pages ago.
We could have had an Aqualad solo story ruling Atlantis. Teens take over Atlantis.
Oh, and he could have had a crisis and called in the Teen Titans.
Yes, or
the Junior Justice League.
He could have. No, it's Teen Titans. Oh, you're correct.
Oh, wow. How am I correct?
Or he could have met Aqua Girl, who he's going to meet in a couple of issues from now.
Okay.
So the dome's gone. The Air Force responds quickly.
Mm-hmm.
The ogre guys see that the dome is gone. They're going to try to go in and get the gold. But suddenly, a drone from up ahead bombs their tank and presumably kills them also.
Yeah, they're dead.
Now, in the hush that falls, we find out that pretty girl is Mira.
Yay,
Aquaman, Mira. Darling, thank the tides you're alive.
Mira, you, the dome, it was you who turned it solid with your hard water powers. But how'd you get here?
I sent my agents for her, Aquaman, back on page 4 when I realized she was the best person to deal with this emergency.
Great idea, Tolman. Why didn't I think of that?
Maybe, darling, because husbands think wives are helpless little things.
Oh, yes.
Listen, Aquaman, I could crush your skull with my hard water powers, so you'd better start showing me a little more respect at home. Mira's from Europe, so.
Oh, and so shortly. You're completely cleared, Aquaman, and Ogre's blackmail scheme failed. But I'm afraid we've only captured part of their organization.
Yes, General, which means... Oh, that was a general.
Oh, crap.
Yes, General, which means they'll strike again, but how? And when?
Only future smash issues of Aquaman will answer that, Tingler. So read it... Ever.
What the hell?
So read it ever, miss it never.
Oh, my eyes.
Jeez, I'm sending you to the eye of, what do they call it?
Sauron?
No, that's Eyes Are Us or whatever. It's one on every corner, literally.
I don't know. I'll go. I used to go to the one in Martinsburg, but their service is so bad.
Walmart has, you have to walk through the eye clinic to get into Walmart.
It's next to Subway, so you leave smelling like Subway bread after you've had your eyes examined.
What's wrong with smelling like Subway bread?
It's not really bread.
When I was a boy, we had the Wonder Bread Bakery was very close to where I lived.
Yeah.
And at night, you could smell it. You could smell them bacon.
We used to walk over to the bottling factory and get Yoo-Hoos for a nickel or whatever it was.
Wow.
Yeah, warm Yoo-Hoos in Miami, Florida.
Still.
One hot Yoo-Hoo, please. Thank you, sir.
Well, you drink hot chocolate, don't you?
Yes. Oh, Yoo-Hoo. I want a Yoo-Hoo right now.
I love this story.
Yes, thank you. It was delightful.
I love the artwork. I love the story. I love Aquaman being out of water and having to use his wits and his fisticuffs.
What was your favorite Aquaman panel?
Him ripping his shirt open, even though he's still got orange scaly shirt underneath.
Yeah, I like that one of him flying over
New York. Oh, the flying, yeah.
That was great.
Well, that's all I have for this week.
It is.
Anything else to add?
Oh, my gosh, no. It's been such an exciting evening, hasn't it?
I'll say, and it's not over yet.
No. Why?
What?
The evening's not over yet?
No. It's not even 7 o'clock yet.
Oh, I know. Isn't it great?
Yes.
Yes. I was hoping to go get some exercise, but I think I'll turn in a little bit earlier tonight and go first thing in the morning.
Okay. All right. You can find us on social media at GoGoCheckPod. You can rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcasting app. You can find us on our sister podcast, Nerd Orchestra, dropping monthly. And you can find us right back here next week.
Right.
For now, bye!
Mr. Wind, just keep us sailing.
Keep us sailing along.
High in the sky, there's no curtain.
Yes, we'll have fun. So everyone, come on.
Guide us. When you're beside me, we can fly.